The basis for today's meditation is the gospel reading read earlier. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone recently compared war to a dead fish laying beside a lake in the moonlight. From a distance, it looked beautiful to see the light reflecting off the silver scales. But as you approach, it took this one fish whiff to realize that it was still just a sleeping, rotten fish. From a distance, a battle in the Revolutionary War, perhaps if you're up on a mountainside, was a dazzling display of men in colorful uniforms, matching precise formation. You had your cannon, your cavalry, your banner, your drums. But if you were leading forces and walked across the battlefield, the enchanting scene would be dominated by grotesque suffering and death. This dichotomy also applies to all the situations we find ourselves in this world, no matter what time in which we live. It's very easy for us to sit back and be isolated, see only the good. But it takes just one whiff of Auschwitz or Diana, or one quick glance at the slum and the signs and the diseases and the moral perversions to realize that all too often this beautiful world that God has created has become a very stinking, rotten place for which to be. And yet it is into this world that our Lord came. He came to be the salt, with a capital S. He came to be the light. However, in our text for today, Jesus in his sermon on the Mount tells us that we are the salt of this decaying world, and we are the light. He uses both of these pictures which, in effect, express the same thing, but they have a little emphasis of their own, rising together to give a more complete picture of what the Christian life should be like. First of all, the significance of our being salty. Salt is a preservative. It doesn't stop the taste, it slows it down. It acts as an antiseptic. One commentator wrote, Christians are the moral disinfectants in a world where moral standards are low, constantly changing and non-existent. Nor does salt resist the taste. It's utopian fantasy that somehow, if we can just be better salt, if we can just make ourselves better salt, then we can make this world a perfect place. It's just a fantasy and impossible dream. What the picture is so gloomy, then why does God insist that we are the salt? There's really a twofold reason. First, instead of on the negative side, we are the salt because we are God's moral check. An exception of this world left the world perish too quickly in its own finest. And on the positive side, this is something we can get excited about. We are the salt that others might see our good works and glorify the Father by glorifying the Son whom He has sent, the Son to whom we witness. This leads right into the significance of our being light. Light is used to displace darkness, to a world of spiritual darkness working around for means. God has sent us as beacons to a light to share the salvation of Jesus Christ. The words of the prophet Isaiah apply and challenge us today. He wrote, I will make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. It's part of something big here at Emporia. Every year, hundreds of men leave this campus on vicarage assignments and on final placement assignments. And they travel literally to the end of the earth. It's an exciting thought to think that someday we'll leave here, and only God knows where we'll go. It may be to some country we've never even heard about. It's sort of belittling too, because we know how inadequate we are. There's no way we can change the moral or spiritual makeup of any person. That's the job of one greater, the job of the Spirit. As you wish, the means of grace. And the humbling fact remains that God has chosen us to be involved in His process as ministry, as an
sacrament. We do this by sharing our Son Jesus Christ and his suffering and death in the cross. We do this by witnessing to our Lord Jesus, who rose victoriously, so we know that he will rise in the last day. And we do this by sharing our King Jesus, who rules over this returning world, and who will rule over the world to come. There is one problem there. Our sinners, we so often fail to get out of the cross circuit. Morton Salt became our little slogan, when it rains, it pours. Well, we're first class thought, but sometimes we don't have that. And we sit in the security of our studies, security of our books, or of our families, or of our little Christian duties. And we sometimes a little worry about going out to that world where the storm clouds of destruction and sin might threaten us. The reasons for doing this are manifold, but ultimately the boil down to the fact that we put too much emphasis on the worship and not enough emphasis on the work that we should be doing. We're too concerned about the well-being of the messenger. We're not concerned enough about the message. The message is important. We all believe it. That's why we're here at the seminary, teaching and preparing to be ministers. Most of us will be spending a lot of time in pulpit teaching this message. But before we climb into the pulpit, we usually find ourselves in a sacristy. One of the last things we do is look into a mirror, step out of a room, and make sure there's no spot or wrinkle. I might suggest that the bulk of our attention be as we look into that mirror throughout our Lord Jesus, as we meditate on the sweat and the blood stains that mar his robe. It's because of those spots that he has the right to say, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." May this message be the focal point of all that we do and say.